these are unprecedented times that we're living in. And I think post-war, we haven't seen a pandemic, a health crisis linked to a potential economic crisis. So there is much to learn as we go forward. And obviously, it's very difficult to prepare for what we've actually seen. That said, I think my view, devolution has worked. I think we're seeing a situation where Wales, Northern Ireland and Scotland have different views about how we go forward, different timings. That is quite important. I think overall, it's very difficult to assess how well governments have done because, you know, this is the first time for us. On the other hand, there are clearly issues, both in the UK and Scotland, in terms of testing, in terms of PPE, the kind of protective equipment, and also the idea of tracing and then isolating. So it seems to me that we got late into the lockdown. You can't envy the ministers in both Scotland and in London that are trying to deal with this. But nevertheless, we could have done certain things better. On the other hand, benefit of hindsight is not always useful at this point, and I'm sure that in the future there will be many of us looking for questions to be answered when there's a proper inquiry as to how this has been handled.
Do you think this crisis has exposed how much the NHS, for instance, has to change in order to better respond to future pandemics?
Yes, I mean, but they're not the only ones. I mean, I think there are some key issues here. I mean, first of all, in terms of the UK, I mean, we have a devolved health service in Scotland, which is largely administered from Edinburgh. In the UK, though, we have London, which is the headquarters of the NHS in England. And it seems to me that the UK has got to take decentralisation seriously. You know, the command and control structure of the NHS and public health in England is not helping. For example, in terms of testing, many more laboratories could have been used to process the test, but that hasn't happened. And I think you've got to question the psychology, the kind of culture, the behaviour of these big organisations, especially when it comes to pandemic. I think the second concern for me, which is tragic, is the social care side. You know, I have been involved most of my political life in looking at social care. I was involved in free personal care. I've been working recently with Alzheimer's Society in terms of defining what advanced dementia is and how that should be dealt with. I've also got a granddaughter who works in Fife in a care home. And for me, you know, this is the Cinderella service that has not yet gone to the NHS ball. And it's all, again, I think, about respect. It's all about understanding. And whilst we've made some tentative moves towards integration in terms of the health service and the care service, it hasn't happened yet. And I suspect that part of the problem we faced with the massive number of deaths in our social care homes is in relation to how that has been treated. And I, along with other politicians collectively, we should all take some responsibility for the state of social care at the present time. There are some wonderful homes, some wonderful practice, and of course, dedicated staff. But I do think this has been one of the crises within a crisis that has unfolded because of the lack of integrating health and social care.
So would your call be to politicians after this crisis, the coronavirus crisis, has passed, that health and social care should immediately integrate?
The question of immediately is a difficult concept. But on the other hand, I think what this has shown, you know, in my view, the social care crisis has been an accident waiting to happen. You know, we've had some tremendous service from the care workers and great response from some of the residents. But look, it is a question of psychology again, a question of behaviour, a question of respect, a question of trust. I don't believe the NHS has embraced social care in the way it should have done. Now, I think that falls to politicians, it falls to governments, it falls to bureaucrats, it falls to people that run the health and social care services to actually look at another way forward. My view is that we should look upon it as we do with national health in terms of the treatment and care that should be provided. But it's a difficult one. It's an expensive one. But on the other hand, you know, when you look into this crisis, I'm just concerned that I thought this would never happen. But obviously the pandemic has laid bare that we haven't given enough respect to social care despite the heroic efforts that have been made by the social care staff, they simply deserve much better than they're getting from the National Health Service. And I would call on all politicians now to make it a top priority to see how best we can integrate, see how best we can develop, and equally important, how best we can fund this complete setup. Because in terms of pay, for example, you know, we're putting people into the front line. We're putting in people to care for others. We're actually putting staff in the front line with their actual health at risk. And often we pay them the minimum wage. That's not good enough in 2020.